Charlotte Soccer Show. John Hayes, Danny Brams, and Anna Witte here on this Thursday evening. What's up, Tifos? It's a big day in club history. There's no doubt about that. That's why Anna is here. She's here to talk to the Tifos and give us insight, Danny Brams, into Charlotte FC's newest signing. Danny, how are you feeling tonight? The vibes are pretty good, aren't they?
Bring him on in, man. We got our guy. Leo Labada is here. He's on the way, I should say, but he's here in spirit, and he is officially announced and signed. And the vibes are so good. And I hope you're doing good. John, thank you for that great intro. We started a couple minutes late, Joe Garcia. There's no delay. That's all Danny's fault. You can't start putting the delay on me every time. We've just been a little fashionably late. But thanks to all the Tifos that are in the chat. Thanks to everyone for who might be watching this later. If you couldn't live, Abram Kuchecki says his level of stoke has reached maximum levels. I'm right there. My stoke is so fiery right now because we got our DP, young DP winger, who's going to come in. He scores goals. He gets assists, as Dean said. We're about to run through everything Dean said. But first, I got to toss it over to Anna. Welcome to the Thursday live stream for your debut. You debuted on the Sunday show last week. Now you're a Thursday debut. It's a beautiful week for you.
It is. It is. Honestly, Danny, the kit that you chose to wear today, I guess the warm-up kit, that color really, I think that's what we're all vibing with right now, right?
Oh,
like the colorful, excited. No, I'm excited to be here. I mean, I couldn't have picked a better week to debut on Thursday. This is like a beautiful day in Charlotte FC history.
I'm going to do it. I'm giving myself the solo layout here real quick just to spring up. Just so everybody can see the colors. Everybody just see the colors. Yep.
You look great, Danny. There's no doubt about that. And we're all everybody. It's one of those nights. Shout out to Greg Franco. Good to see. Good to know that Greg's in the chat tonight. And it's one of those nights where we're gonna have fun tonight. Charlotte FC has taken 4 points out of six to start the season, which is, if you remember back to last season, took a while to get those first couple points. So 4 points out of six is really nice.
Points in March are not something that we're used to. So we'll take them for sure. February? Yeah. Oh my God.
So what we're going to do tonight on the show is, of course, we're going to hear from the Tifos in the live chat, but we had a chance to do a lot today for what it's worth. We're going to share Dean Smith's press conference. So we're going to share some bites from him on the show. We're going to react to what he said. We're going to talk about this new signing, and everybody that's hanging out with us live now, just know there's a ton of content on the YouTube page. So once you're done with us tonight, you can hear from Graham Ruthven on the Alabada. You can hear from Kaylin Kyle of MLS 360 on Apple Plus. She joined us for a chat as well. But what we do on this Thursday show, and it's so fun to have Anna here, is Anna, there's a special YouTube show that we do, and I'm sure you've seen one of these episodes. It's called Decoding the Press Conference. Yes. And it was Danny Brams's brainchild. And as much as I love the show, this is a hybrid version, if you will, where we get to play these
live
clips
decoding. Yeah.
And we get to decode the press conference live. So we're gonna start with Dean Smith on new signing, Leo Labada, and how this transfer got done.
You were a man of your word. 7 days ago, you said we'd have a player in 7 days. The announcement coming, there'll be a player here 7 days later. What are your thoughts on your new addition?
I'm really pleased. You know, he's a player that I know well. Obviously, coming from the UK, I know he's been playing in Scotland, but you know, there's not many English people who don't know about Celtic and Rangers players because they're always in the news and they're on the TV a lot. They're both two big clubs, and to get a player of his caliber and the consistency that he's had in the last couple of seasons with Celtic is a big coup for ourselves, I believe.
It is a coup, and for what it's worth, does Dean Smith watch the Sunday recap shows?
He's going to start. If he hasn't yet, he will start for sure. I'm sure he gets a memo on it sitting on his desk first thing in the morning. They pay someone at the office to watch that show and just give a little synopsis for him for sure.
I believe those are my exact words this past Sunday at Hot Fly, where, of course, we were presented by our friends at Hot Fly. It was a big watch party this weekend. Anna, you're here to help us decode the press conference. What did you hear from Dean there talking about his new signing?
Well, I think the person who asked the question did a great job saying you're a man of your word, right? Like Dean Smith is starting off this season, just continuing getting the ball rolling, and the scoring goals is where they need help, obviously. So not only about it, can he score goals, but he can also assist. He had in 112 games, he had 29 goals and 22 assists. So I think on this team, like for me, I think the biggest thing is the fact that they're a team that can do it and goal score as a collective. And Abada fits so well into that. Not only can he play in the middle of the field, but he's comfortable in wide areas. And that's exactly what you need from a DP coming in, who's selfless, who's going to connect with Capetti in the middle. If he decides to shift into the middle, there's also going to be a connection there as well. I think he's going to be a really good addition because he's got it all.
He does it all. And he does what Zoran said. We not only Dean spoke to the public, we got a little bit of a quick, 5-10 minutes just to talk to Zoran for about a few things he thought. And he brought up something. John, you said Dean stole your quote. Zoran kind of stole my quote from the Sunday show. He might be watching the Sunday show too at this point, because, or at least getting that memo.
Because they're going to start showing up to Hot Pie. I have a couple beers on Sunday. Well,
this Sunday. You never know. We'll see. But he pointed out something that really struck me about Abada, which was Abada has a nose for goal. He knows where to be. Like, it's a skill, because a ball can bounce a lot of different directions when it's kicking around in the box, pinball style. And Zoran said this, a half a meter to the left, a half meter to the right, you're not in the right position to get the tap in or to get the finish. And Abada just has that ability to be right there in that middle, not too far to the left, not too far to the right, right spot. He just a nose for goal. He knows how to do it.
Yeah, Dean Smith spoke about Liel Abada and what he could bring between the lines as well.
He'll add creativity in the final third. He scores goals and he creates goals. I think the last two seasons, he's probably scored 10 and created 7 or 8. You know, if you're getting a player, a wide player that's, having 18 goal involvements a season, then that's a good player.
I mean, it's at some point here, we have to just kind of like do a heat check, right? You know, in basketball, where it's just like you've made 6 3-pointers in a row. And when you're coming up the floor and everybody knows on the team, the coach knows, like, you've got the total green light to let this next one fly, right? I need a heat check right now, right? I think Danny needs a heat check as well, right? Because things are trending in a really, really nice direction for this club right now. And it feels like, Anna, I vividly remember this, and I asked you this specifically when you were with us at Hop Fly. After the season opening win, I was like, is this team good? Because it feels like, I don't know, like we're so close to the sun. So Danny and I to heat check. We need a heat check from you again.
Because I'm already buying an MLS Cup ticket. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Danny's like very hot right now. And I love it, right? Like,
where's the League's Cup final being played?
I think you're pretty spot on. I think maybe a little bit down because we haven't seen more than just 2 games we played so far. Mm-hmm. But I think once Abada gets comfortable in the system, I think it's a really good partnership. And I also think there was another thing that was said, because not only did Abada have opportunities to Miami, I heard opportunities to go to LA. He picked Charlotte, and the agent was saying he was watching the home opener. He was watching the crowds. He was seeing how many people, the fans, support this team. And it's all the people watching the show, really, who have led and created an environment that these top players want to play in.
Oh my gosh. You are catching on so fast, Anna, because what we do is we praise our audience. They are the best podcast, YouTube, Substack reading audience out there. I mean, the TIFOs make this world go round, and the TIFOs demanded this team to go out and get a player like this, like Abada. And this is a guy that should not be coming to MLS. We know that there's political circumstances that have led to all of that, but he just wants to come here and be a soccer player. And I think that's the best thing we heard today, is that for all the circumstances that drove him to come here in sort of a weird way, he just wants to be a soccer player. He just wants to focus on the game. He's not here to like make political statements or anything. He just wants to get back to playing soccer. It wasn't working for where he's at. He's got a fresh start here.
I wouldn't sell the MLS that short, to be honest with you, Danny. Like, I think MLS is there. We're seeing it with the head coaches. Like, Manchester City is losing a coach to Minnesota. MLS is certainly there when it comes to talent coming from the Premier League. And Abada has an opportunity to be a DP, to make a mark, and really make a name for himself in Charlotte, which is a growing soccer city. I think there's he can look at so many things in his young career, and he can only go up from here in Charlotte. So, I think MLS can compete for sure. Obviously, the circumstances are what they are, and that's unfortunate. But hey, I don't know. I wouldn't sell it short.
I do think MLS can compete. Don't accuse me of selling MLS.
I love MLS.
I'm just saying that this guy was told that he by our team reached out about him, and they're like, we'll probably sell him to Everton. So, you know, probably not MLS. But then things changed, and our credit to our office, they pounced and they went and got a guy that they normally wouldn't have not have been accessible.
Right. And we talked about and we reacted to Dean Smith talking about this signing kind of being a coup, right? The timing is everything in life. And and I believe that. And our friends at Hopfly, they know all about time. Every lager that's brewed at Hopfly has a name that has to do with time. And Danny and
Crunch
I talk
time,
about that all the time.
Extra time. Total of
Surreal time as well.
Surreal time, bro. The surreal times are getting so nice last weekend for sure.
Yes, they were. So you know, it's almost like things are coming together and the timing is just absolutely right. And there's a lot of circumstances, right? We talked about how these circumstances feel somewhat political. And let's not beat around the bush. They're exactly that. This transfer happened because of the Israel-Palestine war. That's just fact. We're not going to editorialize on that. But what we're going to do is we're going to lean on the pro journalists who do such a great job covering this club. And one of those is, of course, our friend Carol Walton of the Charlotte Ledger. And she asked Dean today about that very circumstance.
You know, in normal circumstances, you make a point to welcome new players. But given the unusual circumstances, he'll be coming in. About it. Are there ways you have in mind of making him feel comfortable and welcome here?
What would be
the political pressures he was dealing with?
I don't get involved in politics, so there's nothing for me. It's you know, an Israeli international player who's coming over to play for us, but he's a human being. He's a football player first and foremost, so that's how he'll be treated at this club.
Have you had a chance to talk to him?
Only by text so far. Really looking forward to working with him. I know Z and Bobby have spoken to him, and you know, seems to be a really humble guy. I've spoke to other players and people who've worked with him as well, obviously, to get my due diligence, and all the reports have been really positive.
Yeah, one thing I can say for certain, and talking to people in and around the club and in very high profile positions, and Dan, I know you've had the opportunity to do this as well, is what Charlotte FC is doing and what Charlotte FC is trying to create is a place where Leal Abada can show up and enjoy his football again, right? This wasn't a situation where Abada felt like he was being treated poorly. It was a situation where Abada felt like, hey, I'm a 22-year-old player and the world is my oyster and this doesn't feel like the right fit for me at the moment. And let's go find a club that is that, the right fit. And I've got nothing but credit to give to Zoran Crneta and this entire organization because there's something in sales, right? Danny Rams, you call it prospecting. You put your name out there, you get in front of people, you shake hands, you have conversations, just let them know, hey, I'm interested in doing business.
Take my card, you know, exactly
right. Yes. And this is what Zoran Crneta did with Celtic and with the front office at Celtic. He had a conversation a year ago saying, hey, we're very interested in Leal Abada. And this is a player that we've got our eye on. And Celtic turned around and told Zoran, Anna, they said, sorry, we're gonna sell this kid to Everton, and we're gonna try to get him to Crystal Palace here in the next 5 years. So what it is, it's a great example of how timing in life sometimes is everything. And then the work that you put in throughout the process sometimes rewards you down the line. And it's just nice to know that amongst all of this political uncertainty, right? and someone can be in a bad position, all of a sudden you've got a chance for new life. And Leal Abada has that here in Charlotte.
And what I love to see is what I'm seeing in these comments right now from the TIFOs here on the live stream on the Charlotte Soccer Show YouTube, which is support and like want, just can't wait to welcome this guy. And we're so stoked because when you watch video clips, when you watch the highlight reels of Abada out in Celtic, some of his biggest goals, he would run straight to the supporters and like celebrate with the supporters and like get in the mix. I'm sure you saw that, Anna. And like, and we, you know, it's going to be a little bit harder for him to like jump in with the supporters. He could climb the crown like Carol did that one time. But what he said, and you said this, Anna, about his time of why he would have chosen Charlotte specifically in the MLS. We asked Zoran about that also. And he said, the video's further down the channel on this channel. And he said, it was important for us that we identified he wanted Charlotte over any other team. And then we went to go further down the road with him. And the reason we found out that he wanted Charlotte was because of everything that Charlotte shows to the world. He, like I said, he loves to celebrate with the Celtic supporters. He's going to love to celebrate with us. And he wanted to find a place that was drawing 30,000 a game, 60,000 for big games, had the big support, had the big ritual and all the, you know, the bells and whistles, that kind of stuff appealed to Leal Abada. And it's great to know that all the work that our club has put in for 2 years, even with the chip on our shoulder and like being mad at MLS Pravda and everyone, you know, oh, everyone rates us low and blah, blah, blah. But like, eventually your work just starts to show for itself and people take notice. And all of a sudden we're like an attractive club because of the things that we do.
I mean, I moved here from San Diego, who doesn't have an MLS team yet, but you know, I've been in the North Carolina market before. And even last season, the people in Southern California were talking about Charlotte FC and were always amazed by the fans and how they show up and how they get excited at games and in what ways do they show up on social media. So just to kind of back everything Danny has said there, the fans have proven themselves to players like Abada that want to play here because they know they'll get that love in return.
It's the Mint Street Hop, baby.
It is the Mint Street Hop, and it's why I think the people at MLS Season Pass, the people, our friends at Apple, have decided once again, Danny Brams, to put Charlotte FC as the free match of the weekend. You don't even have to subscribe.
It's a beautiful thing.
Subscribe to MLS Season Pass. You can just fire up the app this weekend. You can check out Charlotte FC for the first time if you haven't watched them before. Leal Abada, by the way, is not going to be on the pitch this weekend, for what it's worth. They're going to have to wait a couple weeks.
Wish it happened that fast.
it unfortunately does not here in the United States. The visa process works slowly. We've circled potentially Leal Abada being on the bench for the match at home against Columbus, but that following week we're welcoming Cincinnati. It's 2 weeks in a row against teams from Ohio, the Supporter Shield winners and the MLS Cup winners, back-to-back week here, the next two home matches in Charlotte. And we're hoping that Leal Abada is available for that second one against Cincinnati.
Yeah, remember what we also heard today, John, is that he actually will probably go to Israel. He'll go because the Israeli national team faces Iceland in a playoff match to get into the Euros 2024. So I might actually be cheering for Iceland in that one. I mean, I like Leal. I want his national team to be good, but I don't want him going to play the Euros right after we signed him in the middle of the summer. So I'm going to be hoping that one goes our way personally. But yeah, I think he should be in a perfect world if like all the planets aligned and America had its, you know, the American government document processing centers had their shit together, which they probably don't. Then he could maybe have even been on the mat, on the bench at Nashville in 9 days. But that's extremely optimistic. So I think if we all just put ourselves together and focus on that Cincy game, we can all sort of be of one mind. And I would think he has a chance really to start at home if he gets a full week of training ahead of Cincy.
Right. So that's many, many weeks ahead. But for right now, Charlotte FC is preparing to play Toronto FC this weekend. Charlotte FC has still not won a match north of the border. They got another chance for that this weekend. Sean Swaim, shout out to Sean, the creator of the Charlotte Soccer Show logo. I heard he's my height, short Kings Unite. That's one thing I love about soccer, right? And all you have to do is look at Lionel Messi. You don't have to be born six and grow to 6'4" to have success in the professional game, do you hear it? No, you absolutely don't.
Not at all. Not at all.
It's a brilliant thing. So, Danny, we've got a ton of people watching us tonight. So, I've got a request for you. I've got a big time request for you.
Okay.
I want to see some highlights of this guy. You know, right. There's at some point, you know, we can sit here three talking heads talking about Leal Labada and just exciting the people. But
sure,
I think there's a lot of people that haven't seen exactly what this guy can do on the pitch. And for me, Anna, he's somebody that you and I talked about, right? As when we thought about Kerwin Vargas on the right, Yuri Tavares on the left, these winger positions for Charlotte FC, that felt like the only two options. If you can inject Leal Labada into that right wing position as your first name on Dean Smith's starting 11, knowing that both Yuri Tavares and Kerwin Vargas are fighting for that left-handed spot, do you feel better about the depth at those positions and how you've played? You played at Penn State, you've played at a super high level, you cover NWSL. When you have actually quality depth at the wing position, what does that mean to a soccer club?
Depth is everything on a team, especially in soccer, because the season is so long. There are going to be injuries. There are going to be, Danny spoke to it, there are going to be moments when players are going to have to go with their national teams and the next person in line is going to have to step up. So having that depth come off the bench, start on the bench, maybe in different positions will be key. And even looking at how this Charlotte FC team has played, normally they play with like a 4-2-3-1 situation. That could even be a Vargas. If he feels comfortable in moments, probably not. He could slide into that 10 role if they want him on the pitch, or even if Abada slides into that 10 role, he feels so comfortable playing underneath Capetti, there could be that give and take in that 10 role. So we could see Smith playing with the formation a little bit once he gets Abada here. And if he's still happy with how a player like Vargas is doing, doesn't want to take him off the pitch, there could be some movement. And Smith is a good enough coach to do that.
I love to hear you talk about depth. It's one of those things that it's not sexy to talk about, but it's so important when you're talking about a 34-game MLS season.
Right.
And you've got guys like Brant Bronico who are currently on the mend. You've got Ben Bender, somebody who has played such a crucial role for this club, not yet featured so far this season, and it might be another month until Ben Bender is back on the pitch. So as you know, Anna, Danny Brams is a man of many, many talents. And all you have to do is ask him something and he'll take care of you. So as far as Leal Labada is concerned, I mean, it's one of those things, Danny, where if you look at a player and you call up these clips, you can't help. And the reason I wanted to show this on the show tonight is because he just looks good. I mean, this is one of those players that shows up in the right spots. He's somebody that loves to celebrate a goal. And he's, quite frankly, the best signing in Charlotte FC history, and it's not even close.
Yeah, I mean, this guy makes Karol Swiderski look like a Sunday league player, just in terms of his attacking, like, just like, you know, Karol was such a technical player and a guy who, you know, would give some push, you know. He wasn't an athlete, but it's just, this guy is just, the athleticism is off the charts.
Yeah, and I think, too, the fact that Abada can play on the left and on the right gives that versatility and even more depth on this Charlotte side. I mean, you see Abada taking that touch inside. He's comfortable going 1v1 against center backs and taking shots from range, or he can find himself in behind inside the 18. He uses his head to finish shots as well. I mean, at this level, obviously, you have to be able to do it all, but it's about the consistency in MLS, and Abada is going to bring that consistency for this team. I think all season long, I'm excited to see this.
Look at him go celebrate with the supporters. Like I said, like, I mean,
yeah,
there's no place for him to run up and hug folks here at Bank of America, but he'll find a way.
Maybe you have to create something, Danny. Maybe that's your next task.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, hey, if he needs someone to hug, I'd be more than happy to meet him down in the vault for sure. No doubt about that.
Hopefully he sees this clip.
You know, as we're watching this, Greg, Christopher Gallagher there, is that the right? It's one of those things. It's obladi, obada. That's a good one, Danny. That could work.
Yeah, exactly.
Brian, there's
something. I love obladi. That's like one of my top five Beatles songs. I love obladi. I love Greg. Greg's always working on the chants. Greg's a chant master extraordinaire. I got one for you, Greg. I'm going to go Bob Marley. I'm going to go abada, abada, abada. Push it some more. Goals are gonna make you sweat. Until you can't sweat no more. I love it.
Unbelievable.
Man. This guy, yes. We're going to be singing songs about this guy. I can't wait. I mean, come on. But can you wait to see this guy at the bank? This can be amazing.
No, I can't. I'm excited.
Bank. That's how like hyped up I am, as I just said, my least favorite nickname for the stadium.
No, I texted Anna, I texted Danny before the show, and I said to him, I was like, hey, you know, the things that are like starting to happen here, you know, you have to obviously listen. I'm a trained journalist. I have a degree. I've been in the business my entire life, and I kind of, you know, show up on this show and we call ourselves fanalists. But at the end of the day, like I try to look with a trained eye on, you know, what's happening at a soccer club. And right now I think that Charlotte FC, because of Dean Smith, because of the signing, because of the ambition to sign another player this summer, right? There's an open DP spot on this roster. And David Tepper is one of the richest owners in global football. You're talking about a top 10 owner as far as wealth is concerned. That makes you think that I'm not saying that Charlotte FC is going to win the Supporters Shield this year. Everyone keeps talking about a stacked Eastern Conference. And I've got to just finally come out and say it, Danny.
Do you know why
the East is stacked this season?
Because we're in it.
Because Charlotte FC is fucking good and really good in their third year. And every single team that came into the Eastern Conference this season and was thinking, oh, yes, we've got a chance to win. Look at Miami. There's a super team. Miami, Cincinnati's coming out of the Supporters Shield. Little did they know that all of a sudden, after Christian Latanzio got fired, that Charlotte FC started to brew something in the back of Atrium Health Performance Park, right? They got the wheat, they got the barley, they've got the bitters, they got everything they need, Danny. they're stirring it up, and all of a sudden I'm starting to think that, listen, if I were to give you a real like projection into where I think Charlotte FC finishes on the table right now, I would say fourth in the East.
I think that's a fair projection. I'd say 4 or 5.
That's a reset of expectations right there, baby.
I will say, you talk about how this team grows. In fact, after Abada came to the table, I was thinking about, I actually was at Charlotte's first scrimmage, so to speak, against the Charleston Battery 2-3 years ago now. And that team, man, was not good. Like, I was there with my dad and we looked at each other and we're like, is this what Charlotte's going to put on the field this season? Because obviously it was the first year. They're trying to create a team. I get it. But we've seen teams in other leagues really start off strong. Like San Diego Wave and NWSL, for example, really made a huge leap in their first year. Charlotte didn't.
They made some waves.
They certainly did. They made some waves with those kids this season too. I'll say that. But this year, I think Charlotte's doing even more, obviously, with the coaching hire and then building from there. But it's small steps. Like, you don't want to go out guns a-blazing, spend a ton of money, and not make the right picks that fit what you have. And Charlotte has all the key pieces to fit in their salary cap, and now they're starting to get the DPs who match that.
It feels good.
And speaking of a DP, Enzo Capetti is that for Charlotte FC. And I had the opportunity today to ask Dean Smith, hey, what's going on? Enzo Capetti is not scoring goals right now. And you could talk about no shots in week one. And you could talk about a big chance missed in week two. So, well, what is Enzo Capetti doing?
When Enzo Capetti isn't scoring goals, what is he doing?
He's working extremely hard. You know, he's creating enough chances. He created a penalty, I believe, that he should have stayed awarded, because there was no clear and obvious error to overturn it for me. You know, the referee probably got the wrong call to go back over to look at it again. There has to be a clear and obvious error. You know, he's got a chance where he's had a one-on-one. You know, he's had a header in the first half as well, in the second half as well. So he's doing a lot of good work. You know, goals will come. I keep saying, as long as you get chances, you'll score goals.
Check your mic, Johnny, but let me just jump in and say, I'd love to hear this is yet now Dean is echoing the Sunday show again, because that's exactly what Anna was saying about Enzo Capetti, is that it's all about his work rate and being the tip of the spear. And like, you need to be able to look a little deeper and see beyond just goals, the impact he's making. Right, Anna?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in week two, too, he had three shots against Vancouver, which is something. I'm back. You're looking at Capetti being a lot less selfless as well. Like the way he dummied that ball to create an opportunity to score a goal. He has great awareness on the field. And you, to echo what I said a few weeks ago, you just need a DP. You need a number nine who's not going to be selfless every single time the ball comes close to them. And if the coach is happy and there is a game plan in place, maybe Capetti really has been that decoy. Like, people know he's the phenomenal shooter. So there's center backs putting two numbers on him, and it's opening up Tavares on the other side of the field to finish it.
It's one of those things. And the reason why I wanted to tee you up on that is just you know, simply because I thought it was a great pick to have Enzo Capetti man of the match. And there's things that he's doing off the ball that don't show up in the stat sheet. So what if, and this is what I'm concerned about, and I'm starting to see this brew a little bit, is that if Enzo Capetti doesn't score a goal against Toronto FC on Saturday, all of a sudden you're talking about three games, no goal scoring contributions, right? And then you're heading into that next week at Nashville. And if Enzo Capetti doesn't have a goal-scoring contribution there, then I think you can officially say that his season is off to a really, really, really tough start. So I'm not raising my hand and saying, hey, this is a problem right now, but we need to understand what Enzo Capetti is doing when he's not scoring goals, because he still is contributing to the squad.
Well, I think it's one of the things that we talked about with Kaylin Kyle from Apple earlier today. She said the thing that excited her the most about the Abada signing was opening up the pitch for Capetti to have more space and to focus, or either to have more space or just focus on staying central, is the way she put it. And Abada should be able to create for Enzo. I do think we've been going about 30 minutes on Abada here. We'll probably get it more into some hardcore Toronto preview now here with the second half of the show. But before we do, I just want to give a couple more submissions for Abada Chance from the TIFOs, because the TIFOs have been coming strong.
This one's great.
Blue. Oh, that's I'm good.
Blue and I have Abada. I have Abada. I have Abada. Abada. Yeah, well, that's a great one. If we could get the whole fortress doing that, that would be amazing. I love Credence. I love my Credence, just like the dude. I see Abada rising.
Yeah, I know that one. That's good,
that's and good. Then this one, you know, we've been doing the tequila with Kalina, but Abada, you know, I think that's pretty good, but you know, I can't get that's that right. Bob Marley out of my head. Abada, abada, abada.
It's going to be fun. It's one of those things where it's going to be fun, and it's really nice to know that Charlotte FC is playing on the road this week, playing on the road the following week at Nashville. So everyone's got a couple weeks here to get their chance together and figure out how we're going to coordinate this.
How about a Capetti brace? Anna, you think a Capetti brace like Casey Williams is calling for, is that possible this weekend?
I think Casey has a good prediction. I think that's something that he feels the pressure as well. He knows that he needs to get some goals on the board. And
Toronto hasn't conceded all year.
I know. And Charlotte FC, I mean, it's winning and tying. You're finding goals in the back of the net. But now we need to get two, three goals in the back of the net in these games.
Dean Smith today had a chance to speak about Toronto FC and the challenge that lies ahead for the crown.
I watched both their games. I mean, fortunately for us, the game was on Sunday, so I could watch that live. I thought they were fortunate to win the game, you know, and they'll probably admit that themselves. I thought New England had some really good chances during the game. And I think over the two games, their goalkeeper has had a really good game, you know, so he's kept them in, you know, a couple of the games. But they've shown some attacking flair themselves. Bernadeschi has had a number of chances in both games. The teams against him have got some good blocks at times. It's going to be a tough game for us, but, you know, as I've always said, we'll respect the opposition, but have no fear.
Dean Smith, he just brings it every time, doesn't he? Yeah. It's like, Anna, there's somebody who said this, Danny Rams, you called this out, somebody, you and I offline, I told you, I said that Dean Smith is like the opposite of what Ted Lasso was, right?
He's the reverse English, Ted Lasso. Yeah, exactly.
He's an English manager coming to the United States to a market that is full of just like red-blooded Americans who just love their American football. And here's Dean Smith every week taking the microphone and saying things like that. And it's just intoxicating, you know. It's like we're not afraid, you know. It's like we're gonna respect our opponent, but we're never gonna be afraid of our opponent. What's that do to a locker room when a manager's like that?
When managers are extremely honest,
yes. Yeah,
I think it's really good when managers are honest and honest to an extent where he's also very positive about his players. You don't see him in these press conferences saying, "Oh, Capetti has to get a goal," or "Oh, Abada, when he steps on the field, I have this expectation." He has expectations, but they're met with an applause as well. And I think Coach Smith just comes in with experience, and these players respect him, and they want to play hard for him as well. They want to get these goals. They want to get these wins. This Toronto game is not going to be a Toronto game that we've seen in years past, obviously, with how John Herdman has come in as a head coach and changed things around. I think this is going to be such an exciting game because of the two managers that are at the helm. I know Kaylin Kyle kind of spoke on it, but she kind of like stole the words right out of my mouth with what these head coaches really have done for both of these clubs.
It's a great manager matchup for sure. And John Herdman is somebody that knows how to play at a high level, and he's got two DPs, Insigne and Bernadeschi as well, that our friend Steve Goldberg, a great reporter who covers Charlotte FC, asked about today.
How do you solve a problem like Insigne and Bernadeschi?
You have to solve it because that's what you're coming up against. I watched both of them players playing in the Euro Championship against England in the final 3 years ago, 2021. Exceptional players. You know, in Toronto, I've got some really good players. I've got Matty Longstaff, who's just gone in there. They've got Kevin Long, who's now there at centre-back, who I know from, you know, the Premier League. So, yeah, they've got some really interesting individuals there. But we have to concentrate on ourselves more than them. You know, we've done very well defensively. We've restricted the opposition. You know, we're probably coming up another level now against them two players who you mentioned. So our concentration levels have got to be good, but as I said earlier, then distances for our defensive formations got to be good as well.
Danny Brams, you wrote an amazing column today on
Hang on. I appreciate that. We will get back to that because I'd love to hear good things about my column. But hold on 1 second. Steve Goldberg, how do you solve a problem like Insigne? The music references are mine, buddy. Stay off my turf. I'm the one who makes the musical song references here, buddy. Okay, sorry, Johnny.
I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I don't know what music reference you're talking about.
It's the sound of music. How do you solve a problem like Maria? How do you solve a problem like Maria? In the Italian countryside, he's making an Italian joke. I mean, I get it, Steve. I see what you're doing, but...
Anna, there's just like nothing that will ever get past our friend Danny Brands here on the show. When it comes to those two designated players, right? Two of the best players in MLS, two of the biggest goal scoring threats in the league, right? You had a chance to talk to Andrew Privet earlier this week. You wrote a great column about him today on our Substack, Charlotte Soccer City. If you don't follow us on Substack, make sure you're there. And Andrew Privet talked about iron sharpening iron. And here's another chance for him to do that this weekend, Danny.
Yeah, I mean, the competition in Charlotte camp that Dino has brought in has really steeled our guys. And you talk about iron sharpening iron. I think that can apply in sort of, you know, working with your teammates, iron going against each other in training. But this is a case where you're going to get better just playing defense for 90 minutes against two guys, Insigne and Bernadeschi. And I think Privet realized that too, as he was saying, and he talked about he knows what they like to do. They've studied all kinds of film, and the real challenge for him that he said is our biggest challenge is going to be keeping track of those guys when they don't have the ball, because those are two very dynamic wingers. They like to play together. If we talk about New York City was kind of a hybrid, and New York City was still trying to figure out their offense. I would say they didn't really know what they were doing. I would say Vancouver, very central, very much pushing through gold, trying to find two guys in the box, trying to play triangles up the middle. Toronto, the attack's going to come from the flanks. It's going to come down to both sides simultaneously. And these guys are going to be crossing to each other. And, like, you know, one guy will cut from the wing to the center to find a pass and things like that. So it's a different defensive challenge than what our guys have seen so far this year. And the iron better be sharp, baby. I'm telling you.
I think it's also good, too, that Privet's going to be playing more closely with Milanda. Like, he's going to have that communication piece. When the balls come from the wide areas and you're playing a center back position, you're going to be passing off players. You're going to be communicating constantly because you're not going to see the field in front of you. You're going to see the field from the left or right of you. So that's going to be something to watch, too, is what does that partnership look like in those crucial moments when they're defending massive DPs and the ball's coming from wide areas. That's a good point, Danny.
Johnny, check your mic real quick. But
My fault. One thing that I love to see was the fact that you talked about, like, center backs, Anna, prepping for this weekend. What did we see when we were watching open practice this week? We saw Dean Smith working with the center backs, clearing headed balls out of the box. I mean, this guy's all over it and prepping for it, right? So there's really simple things that a center back can do to make life easier for his teammates, and it's clearing the ball. Let's not mm-hmm. get fancy. We don't have to play pretty football. We don't have to
kick it deep.
Play fancy
high
football.
And wide.
Exactly right. And when you're on the road against players like this, if you see a threatening player in front of you, get stuck in, clear the ball, and then do it again the next time the player comes around. And I thought there was one interesting comment in the chat. It might have been from Casey, but it was from Nick. It's so nice to trust mm-hmm. the manager's judgment for a change. Dean is top shelf. And I think the reason why I wanted to share that comment was just simply because in the past, when Charlotte FC was going up to Toronto to play and Christian Latanzio was at the helm, it's like you had no clue what this club was going to do on the pitch. You didn't even know what the formation was going to be.
Right.
But with Dean Smith, it's just very basic. It's very simple. It's a 4-2-3-1. It's a 4-3-3. It's a 4-4-2. And everybody's comfortable with that, and they're not afraid to execute.
Can I have one small criticism from the Vancouver game? I know we're all hype and excited, and it's a good thing.
Please, we got keep it real. We need to keep it real for sure.
Yeah.
The defensive set pieces. You cannot let the ball go through and that not be communicated that there's someone coming through. And it wasn't just the goal. There were two other defensive set pieces where they got really lucky. And that's why I think Smith specifically was coaching his center backs, because it's their job to communicate those types of moments. So making sure, and Vancouver is probably one of the best teams in the league at set pieces, but even against Toronto, this is a new team and a new head coach. So making sure that we are set defensively, even if it's corner kick opportunities from them as well, that's going to be a big crucial piece for Privet in his young career.
It's really exciting to know that both of these center backs, you know, they're super young, they're super impressionable, and they've got a manager who played that position and coached that position at the highest level. So if I'm Andrew Privet right now, right? Anna, take me into this player's mind, if you would, right? Where you're a young player and you want to grow your own personal career, right? But you're thinking about the team as well. But you have to find a way to balance that, right? Where it's like, I'm going to be a team player, but I also want to get the most out of my career. How do you balance that? And do you think Adilson Milanda and do you think Andrew Privet are young players with an opportunity to kind of see their careers skyrocket because of their situation right now?
Definitely. Well, Privet's on the right foot because he's a Penn Stater. So he's already got the right frame of mind.
Yes, he does.
I'm just kidding. That's coming from a Penn Stater. But all seriousness, it is important for them to play together and communicate together. Coach Smith is not only a smart coach, but he sees the game well. Like when he talks in press conferences, he already like knows his players and can kind of read their minds and situations. So it's important to follow your career, but I think it's a day at a time when it comes to big picture career. Right now for these center backs, it's about making sure that they are constantly communicating, figuring out what each other's weaknesses and strengths are, and making sure they're able to balance off of that. And that's what is always important. Whenever I'm calling games, I always ask about the partnership between two center backs. who's the center back who's stepping to the ball and who's the center back covering in behind. And that's where Privet and Milanda and Coach Smith and their staff are probably trying to figure that piece out. But right now, you're this young in your career. You're just focused on Charlotte FC being the best that you can be and making sure that you're always healthy, ready, and doing whatever the team needs off the field as well.
So you mentioned calling games. So what are you doing this weekend? Do you have games on your slate this weekend, or what games are you calling this weekend?
No games
this weekend.
This is my last soccer-free weekend. I've got 4 games on tap next weekend, the Challenge Cup game, and then 3 regular season games. NWSL kicks off next weekend. But this weekend I'm in Charlotte, so I'm free.
Okay.
It'll be a hop fly at 2 p.m.
That kind of seems like there might be an Anna Whitty appearance on the Sunday. Yeah. Post game show at Hotfly. Right. It feels like the TIFOs at Danny Rams. I feel like ever since we've brought Anna on the show, it just feels like we've got a ton of new listeners. We've got a ton of new viewers. I don't know if it's Lee Alabada, the new Charlotte FC signing, or I don't know if it's the new Charlotte Soccer Show signing. I think it might be you, Anna, but it's been a pleasure having you. And I know that we've got a couple more topics to get into before the show's over this evening. I wanted to, because as always, we have to give a Brant Bronico update on the Charlotte Soccer Show. And here's what Dean said about Brant Bronico and his timeline to get back from injury this afternoon.
Brant is very close to coming back as well. The distance he's covered this week in training, he's up there now, back to fitness. He might need some minutes in a game that we'll look to get him. But apart from that, this weekend is every as was last weekend.
I wanted to play that clip for 2 reasons. Number one, because it's the bro. We want to know how he's doing. The grind set, bro. you know, he's working to get back. But number two, let's listen to this again, Danny. I'm going to play this one more time, and I want you to try to predict what I find most interesting about this clip.
Brant is very close to coming back as well. The distance he's covered this week in training, he's up there now, back to fitness. He might need some minutes in a game. That we'll look to get him, but apart from that, this weekend is every as was last weekend.
Was it the fact? I had one that I was going to guess was the most interesting, but was it the fact that they said he wants to see him play some game minutes until he gets out in an actual game?
That's not the answer, but that is interesting.
Can I guess?
There was a thought.
Let's say Anna's guess. Yes.
The fact that he's fit, that he's up to fitness.
Thank you. Injured? I mean, yes, exactly right. Thank you very much. He said one key word, right?
That's
he said he's fit, and he also said there's something that we've talked about. I think what Charlotte FC's sports science staff does really well is they track every movement these players are making, and that's what I was trying to underscore in that bite. Dean Smith said he's ran a lot this week in training.
He's covered as much ground as the players that are training normally.
Right, exactly. So he can open up the app. He can see how far has Brant Bronico run this week. What has his activity been on the pitch? And I know Charlotte FC has made a really concerted effort this season. And thanks to Dean Smith and his buy-in to analytics, that at the end of every training session, they have the ability to look at how these players are exerting themselves on the pitch. And what this really works for is a couple different things. Number one, the fact is when a player is coming back from injury, you can look at these analytics and you can say, wow, this player is really doing well and he's up to par and he feels like he can fit right back in with this group. But the second thing that you can do with these analytics is you can go to a player and say, hey, it seems like you've been having a really tough time at training. You haven't been really working that hard. And of course a player goes, I don't know, coach, I don't know what you're talking about. And then he whips out the data and he puts it on the table. He says, you're not doing shit in training. Like you're doing half of what the guy in front of you in the depth chart is doing. So I thought it was really interesting. I wanted to call that out about Dean today, talking about Brent.
It's the player's worst nightmare. They don't want that. They don't want those stats up there. I will say that.
Right. The ones who run and work a lot, they do want the stats. The ones who are trying to slide by, they definitely don't want to get called out. I think what's funny to me, John, is that for the last 3 weeks or so, we've had a chance. There's 2 days a week that they'll invite folks out. They cover the team to come watch the first 10 minutes of training from like a corner of a field. It's far away. You don't really get a ton out of it, but you can get some things. The funny thing to me that the subplot of all those incidents that we've done is every one of those times, Brandt like runs out with the main group and starts with the main group. And you're like, oh, is he back? Is he gonna do all the drills with the team yet? And then right at the last second, he jogs over to sort of the individual like side rehab area. So it's like every single time, like, oh, is he gonna stay? Is he gonna stay with the group? Is he gonna stay with the group? Oh no, he's going to the solo. So it's just like, you know, he's close. But the other thing that I love and the depth that we've talked about is there, I don't feel a need to rush him back. And we don't know. I mean, the position is pretty deep now with Deonny, with Urso, but I don't think there's not a situation where Brandt's not going to play. He may not start every game like he did, but like the good news is that depth and the fact that we don't feel a need for him to rush back. I do want to see him on the pitch, but I don't feel like we need to have him or else. You know what I'm saying?
I just want to call this out, right? Because what you said, Danny, about him getting minutes somehow before maybe getting acclimated back into the first team, I'm looking at next Sunday, and I'm thinking about the Crown Legacy opening match against Carolina Core, a 5 o'clock kickoff. And if Brandt Bronico is fit, if he's not in the squad in Nashville, it might not be a bad place for Brandt to go get 30 minutes. Doesn't mean he has to start. It doesn't mean he has to start, right? But if Crown Legacy is able to play in a way and Jose is able to get this club off to a good start, and Brandt could come in the second half and get some fitness, maybe that's a good opportunity. And by the way, we've got some big news on the show when it comes to March 17th, which happens to be St. Patrick's Day.
Have our lawyers cleared this news release?
Yes, they certainly have. Is that we will officially be doing a live pregame show for Crown Legacy's opening match against Carolina Core. We will be at the supporters tailgate. We will set up there for a pregame show. We'll interview Crown Legacy's president, Darius Barnes. We'll interview the MLS Next commissioner as well. And Little Birdie told us that we're going to potentially have a first team player join us on the show as well. And one thing that we do know that Dean Smith did say today is that he'll fly back from Nashville that night, and he's going to go to that Crown Legacy match and support the squad in its opening game. So as all of this is happening with Charlotte
SC, can I get on that flight? Can I get it? Because I'm driving back. I'm getting up at 3 a.m. in Nashville and driving back to Charlotte so I can be there for this pregame show. Like, I need to get on a flight, man. What the hell?
It's not a bad idea. After the match, I'm sure, you know, if I'm thinking about the way that Sun Country plane shakes out, right, is, you know, you're going to have Joe Labou up in first class. You're going to have Zoran Crnetta. You're going to have Dean Smith. And then you're going to have David Tepper. And then right next to Tepper is going to be Danny Bramps, right, in that first class cabin way back.
Just trying to deal Dave into a poker game, you know. Like, hey, Dave, you know, have a seat, man. Let's play some cards. Yeah.
So I've got one more clip from Dean Smith. I think this is important for us to address, right? Let's not pretend like MLS officiating has been ideal this season, right? All this good soccer is being played across the league. You've got these global superstars who have come into MLS, but for some reason, the league cannot reach an agreement with its officials who are currently in a work stoppage. There's replacement referees, and I asked Dean Smith, and the reason why I brought this up, I had no interest talking about officials today, referees today at this press conference, but Dean Smith just will not let the VAR decision from last Saturday go, so I had to follow up with it.
You mentioned the refereeing a couple of times. The elephant in the room is that these are all replacement referees. Obviously, this is your first year in MLS, but compared to what you've experienced in the past, is it noticeable?
No, I think the refereeing, I think the officiating's been okay. I haven't had a problem with that. I'd have been unhappy if that penalty had been given against me. It was a soft penalty. But once the official has given it, then there's no way it can be overturned, in my opinion, from VAR.
He still won't let it go, Danny. Like he needs to get that in there. I mean, it's almost a week later, and he won't let that go from Saturday night. But he said the right things, right? Yeah, he doesn't want to get fined $10,000 like Steve Cherundolo after bitching to MLS about having a play in a snowstorm. I think right now, and knowing that MLS also sent out a memo to its broadcast partners saying, hey, don't belabor the point about replacement referees being an issue. Just address it before the match and don't talk about it. Dean Smith keeps bringing it up. I'm not the one who's bringing it up, Danny.
Dino's 100% getting fined before the season's over. I mean, they should just start putting the money off to the side right now, because like, if he's already, like, at this point, like, he's 100% getting fined. Like, Dino's fine. Just if you could put a bet on that in the new DraftKings sportsbook that won't stop advertising on North Carolina to airways, right. Then I would say then do it. But I want to know from Anna if my take is valid here, because I really just strongly believe, as much as I'm like dyed in the wool, like you know, union, like I support labor, I'm a man of the working class, I believe in collective bargaining, I hate when ownership exploits their workforce, but like, I just don't have any, it's so hard for me to be sympathetic to the original MLS referees. I don't know, because I just was never impressed with their work. Am I just an asshole, or like, what do you think, Anna? I don't know.
Gosh, you're putting me, that's a very good question, Danny. I don't think you're an asshole. I think that's fair. I don't think the refereeing has ever been amazing in this league. And right now, I don't think it's been amazing either, but there hasn't been this massive step down, in my opinion. It's not been great, but to your point, yeah, I agree. What are they fighting? Like, they weren't the best to begin with. I think if they were to raise their standards a little bit higher, then they're fighting for more. But yeah, I think you're right on this one, Danny. I'll co-sign that.
I know. I'd like to see the original refs restored. I mean,
let me just put it this way.
For sure.
Let me just put it this way. If Danny was a Sporting Kansas City fan, he would not feel the same way. I'll just leave it at that. If you know what happened last Saturday against Philadelphia Union. Yes, okay. It was quite a blunder towards the end of the match that ended up in a game-winning goal for Philadelphia Union. But that's neither here nor there. We'll see how the officials do this weekend. And we've got one more thing left to do on the show before we get out of here. And it's time to make our predictions. It's time to predict whether Charlotte FC can get this win this weekend. I feel inclined to predict a draw, so I'll just throw it out to you both and say who's got the guts to predict a win. And I might know the answer to that.
Let me check. Let me check my guts. I mean, are we BYOG? Are we bring your own guts here with Dabo Sweeney? Like, what's the deal? Like, I have the guts. I think we get a win. I think we had some TIFO's questions about the 11. I think we run the same 11. Don't change a successful 11. I don't see any reason to change it. There were some questions about Jibril Diani. We got word today that he is still in Europe finishing his process. Hopefully we'll be home by the end of the week, and maybe not available on Saturday, but probably available for Nashville. So I think we do one more sort of first three games. We run out the same lineup each time, and I'm going to predict that it's a winner. I think Toronto has yet to concede this year, so they're due to concede. If I think that's how statistics work, right? And
regression,
they've only scored
mean,
once, so it's not like they're super dangerous, and it was a wonder goal. And so I just think if we play our defensive discipline, Dino style, we can't help but come out winners here.
Look at this comment. Bram says the guts. Don't tempt him. I was trying to get a 3-0 out of you. Maybe I thought you're still gonna go 3-2 at some point.
I was gonna go 2-1. I'm just going 2-1.
That's what I was going.
I got 2-1.
I like 2-1. I like 2-1 because I think, to our point earlier in the show, like, but Capetti needs a goal or two. And I think he now feels this fire. And against a Toronto side who, yes, they're set defensively, but I think it's gonna be two teams going at each other who are playing the same style formationally. And I think Charlotte FC can get that edge. There'll be a goal that they can concede because I think Toronto's a good side. But I think, yeah, 2-1. Why not? Charlotte FC gets the win.
I think that Charlotte FC won't score one goal. I think that they'll score zero or two. And the reason why I feel that way is on the road, I think sometimes it's difficult to score. And I could see, considering Toronto FC hasn't given up a goal this season, if the 90-minute whistle blows on Saturday afternoon and all of a sudden Charlotte has zero goals, well, we'll be like, well, Toronto hadn't given up all year. They didn't give one up again. And I think if Charlotte FC does break that dam, if they do break through with a goal, there'll be a combination of things. Toronto will feel deflated. They'll say to themselves, hey, we finally gave up a goal. This isn't ideal. And their streak is over. And then on the flip side of that coin, Charlotte FC will be saying, one wasn't enough last weekend in Vancouver. We've got to push for a second. So my prediction, I think 2-1 is really good. I'm going to go with 2-2. I think a 2-2 draw is the final in Toronto. And that would make for an exciting afternoon of soccer.
And we'd be so – I mean, to get 4 points, right, out of – excuse me, 5 points out of the first three matches would just be something we just never experienced as Charlotte fans before.
Right. Yeah, it'd be huge. And
hopefully seven, but I'll take
five. We you know, it's one of those things, Danny and Anna, that, you know, we're going to do our show on Sunday at Hopfly, but I'm thinking about this Saturday soccer matinee, a 2 o'clock kickoff. And you know, we don't have many of those this season. This might be the only Saturday 2 p.m. kickoff of the entire schedule this year. And we're going to have the opportunity to run it back at Hopfly. We had such a great watch party there last weekend on Saturday night with the Min City Collective, with La Muerte, with our friends there at Hopfly as well, some other great vendors, the Sunshine Shop as well.
Whitney's doing great work at the Sunshine Shop for sure.
Yeah, she certainly is. Hopefully she's back there on Saturday as well. If she's not back, make sure you check her out on Instagram. Has some great homemade Charlotte FC jewelry, which is really cool. Danny and I got some really sweet bracelets.
Oh, there it is.
Let me model it.
Like a Taylor Swift friendship bracelet, it looks like.
Can I be a hand model? Is this, I don't know, like George Costanza, does this count as being a hand model? I don't know.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. Really, totally. Cool. Just like one of those things that you can get from Whitney and Sunshine.
I got one for me and one for my daughter. It's sort of like a, you know, girl dad thing.
Yeah.
I like it. Smart man. So okay. We're going to be there on Saturday. Hope everyone will be there. I hope you'll be there, Anna.
We'll defend the Queens in the chat. This is the guy that I got my
present.
Defend the Queen, baby. Defend the Queen. Mm-hmm. I bought this airbrushed, I don't know if it's airbrushed, but it's. I like the painting style. I really like this style. And Defend the Queen paints this, and he was at the party last week selling these for a decent little price, so I'd say show up and get one.
Yeah, it looks like he's going to be back, you know, so there's going to be a lot going on Saturday afternoon, and Danny's going to be wearing the crown. It barely fits your head. It's like, yeah, it's like your head, you know, I thought the crown was going to be big enough for your head, but damn, dude, your head has gotten pretty big, hasn't it?
My head gets bigger every time we do an episode, and what can I say? I don't know, you know, that could bode dangerously, but.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to do the show tonight. Anna, thank you so much for hanging out with us on your first Thursday night live show, previewing the match against Toronto. Will you come back? Has this been enjoyable enough for you?
Oh my gosh, I would love to come back if you'll have me. This was a blast. I'm loving following this team, and I'm loving chatting about it with you guys.
You're caught in our orbit now, Anna. I'm sorry. You're kind of, you know, you're a contributor, but you're a big part of the team, and you we will look forward to a lot of shows with you over the next rest of the season. You've added a big element to the show that we can't thank you enough, just from energy, just from you and John talking so I can look over and do something else, and obviously your very, very informed analysis.
Yeah, so there's one thing that we always do at the end of the show. We say for the crown, baby, Danny. And I want to cancel that for tonight, right? Because I want to change the end of the show tonight to a different phrase, a phrase that everybody needs to start to say very frequently, Danny Bram. So, you know, I'm John Hayes. She's Anna Whitty. He's Daniel Bramlett. And for now, Dino's at the wheel, Danny Brown.
Dino's at the wheel.